Well, the book of Isaiah is a very powerful book. It is a tremendous book to turn to when you feel sad. There is, of course, sections of it that talk about the struggle that we have in life because God depicts the things that are a part of life for our purposes to show us that there are indeed things going on in the world that are upsetting. The Bible doesn't hide those things. The God that we know provides us the word as a means for us to know about how he has been interacting with people since they came into existence. The book of Isaiah is a book that is meant mainly to point us in the direction of Jesus Christ. I remember we had a children's homeschool choir, and we were picking out different verses for the children to read in association with some of the songs that we sang about. It was really mostly Christian music that we sang and introduced to these children. And most of the people that joined the choir were Christians. But this one woman came up to me and she said, can you know, in addition to Isaiah, can you pick out some Christmassy scripture? And I said, I did. It's right here in the book of Isaiah. You know, so when we think of the book of Isaiah, it foretells Jesus Christ being born. Right? Yeah. It talks about all of those things. In fact, Jesus himself spoke of the book of Isaiah, you know, and so the one who was born in Bethlehem spoke of the prophecies and the things that he had fulfilled. And so, I know what she was talking about though, right? Sometimes it can be very poetic in the way that he writes things. And so it can be a little bit hard for us to capture Jesus is meant there, but actually it's good for us to read the book of Isaiah and to be familiar with the way that Isaiah writes, because it is the word of God. God intends for us to learn those things. And actually, they're quite beautiful. What was just read is one of the most beautiful scriptures, one of the most hope-filled scriptures that you'll ever read. It's a tremendous help. You can memorize it, commit it to memory, read it, and go through it. And so we're going to go through that today. But I just want to say a couple of things. There are different books within the book of Isaiah that people have written, and they've determined and described it in different ways so that we can go through a 66 chapter book with some leading, you know, and some outline that helps us to understand what is being written there. There's a lot of scholarship that goes into the Bible reading and that we do to present it for us. And we're very grateful for even having a Bible that we can read. There was a time when there wasn't. You know, it was read by educated people, but not all people could read the Bible. Isn't it amazing that we can read a Bible?
Amen.
Right? That people have translated the Bible into English so that we can read it. Praise God for their witness. And people are needed still to do things like that. Maybe you'll be called. So what I wanted to say was one of the sections of Bible are chapters 56 through 66. Those are the last 10 chapters that we're reading through, you know, the scripture falls in. And the name of this book is the Book of the Anointed Conqueror. Right? What could be more victorious than that? The Book of the Anointed Conqueror, the Anointed One, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the one that the Bible speaks of all through it to point us in the direction of him. He's not only anointed by God, he's not only chosen as the Son of God to come and to save us, but he is a conqueror. He's a conqueror, not in the terms of destruction and taking over, things like that. He's one who comes with his love and shows through his servant heart his love for mankind so that we would be saved from our sins. He lays down his life. He's that kind of a conqueror. And then he's raised from the dead. And we're going to be celebrating that today in the communion, right? That we are remembering a conqueror that lives even today and is coming again. So why did I choose the title, the inexorable, right, coming of God's new creation? Well, because I like the word inexorable. And I also like the fact that it's not a common one that everybody feels like, oh, I know what that means. You know, I believe it's not as a funny thing. It's really actually a quite serious thing that the word inexorable means it is unstoppable. There's nothing that can stop the coming of God's new creation. There's nothing that any man or woman can do to prevent it. There's no power in the world, Satan or otherwise, that can stop God from bringing about this new creation so that we will be living in paradise. We will be living in heaven with him forever. And it's coming. Do you believe that?
Yes.
It is coming. Bob Dylan wrote a song, Long Train Coming, right? It's a song that talks about Jesus Christ. Actually, he's coming.
Yep.
It's actually a slow train coming. Slow train coming. And it may seem like it's slow to us, but in the kingdom of God and God's timing, it's exactly at the right time and he will come. And so we've been reading that in the Bible lessons this week in the lectionary. And if you've been doing that, you'll see that all through the scripture that is presented during this week. And it's leading up to Advent, which helps us to be able to anticipate the first coming of Christ. But we also need to be remembering during this ordinary time, this growing time, that we are expecting Jesus to return. He has come, and we see that in Christmas, and we're going to be worshiping him for that. But we also are anticipating his coming, right? It is a coming of the anointed conqueror. That's who we serve, and that's how you can refer to him. And when you read the Bible, you can read it with that kind of intention. So I want to just give you a little bit of a background for some of the chapters that are part of this section of scripture from chapter 56 through 66. And in this section, it really is talking about God addressing man's sinfulness and his disobedience toward him, right? He's talking about how we have fallen short. We know that there is a God, but we choose not to follow him. Right? So God is talking about these things. Have you or do you now know of a situation in your life where someone in your life or, you know, their life or the people in your life like that cause you to fret, cause you to have a lack of peace in your heart for some reason? There's something going on in your relationship with those people that causes you to feel worried, to feel that there isn't that peace that you really would love to feel because something is not right, right? There's something that is not, you may not be thinking about it all the time, but it's there, right? And I think that all of us can relate to that kind of a feeling. Well, this is the kind of a sense that there is here with God and mankind, his creation, right? He has created man for goodness, for things that are going to be edifying to his name, pleasing to him, all of these things. And yet he sees man turn on him, right? Turn his back on him and go his own way. And so there is this sense of unrestfulness and the lack of peace. There is no peace. We read this week. There is no peace for the wicked. Mm-hmm. Right? People have sin in their lives and like that. Right? So there is that kind of a feeling that we can relate to when we read this book. It isn't something new. It isn't something that is that we can't relate to. It's something that's very, very real in this book. And Isaiah himself was this ordinary man that God chose him to go and speak to people and say, hey, you need to change your ways. Have you ever had to do that? Mm-hmm. Imagine how hard that would be if you were to go to the people that are, you know, you're upset with now, or that there's some kind of a friction, and you go to them and you say, we need to sit down and we need to talk about this. It wouldn't be so easy, right?
Yeah.
But Isaiah said, I'm here, send me. So we can learn a lot from this man, Isaiah, who was speaking, who was chosen by God as a messenger. We're here to break down through God's power the barriers that keep us apart from having this peace. And that's really what happens in the church of God. We come together. We all have different things going on. However, we come to the one who will help us. And he helps us to achieve peace through Jesus Christ, through his own dying on the cross, his breaking down the barriers, letting the floodlight of light come in. He's a great God.
Yep.
Right? So there are things like that that are going on. People have gotten away from true worship. They think that they're worshiping. They come and they do the things that are associated with worship, like fasting, and they make it an offering. They make sacrifices and do things like that. But inside, they really don't. They don't, you know, when they are not doing that, their lives don't really exhibit the same kind of spirit. You know what I mean? So they're not really doing it in their regular life. They're just kind of practicing a form of religion that is protected by their own desires.
Yeah.
And so God is calling them out of that because that's no way to live, right? why go and do that and go to church and say, well, I did that part. Now I can go back and live like I want. Right. There isn't any, we wouldn't want to be in a relationship with like if a person said, I really love you. And then they go and they start loving other people, you know, in the same kind of way that you're supposed to be only loving your beloved. Right? So, you know, this is something that we need to kind of examine ourselves about. And as we read through this great book of Isaiah, God confronts us and we read about how he's disappointed in mankind. However, there is hope. There is never a section of scripture where God comes and says, it's over, and now I'm done with you forever. He does not do that. There is always, because of his great love, because of his great compassion, there is this unstoppable, inexorable knowledge of God's power and his love to save. And he always comes back. We can always come back to him in that kind of a way. And so that's what we get in the book of Isaiah. You read it and you start to feel like, wow, this is really hard. And then you get to another section and God comes out suddenly, but I'm not going to stay mad with you forever. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to come and I'm going to bring you light and I'm going to give you all these great things. And there's going to come a time when you will have that forever when you believe in me and you give your life to me. So there is great hope here for us. Now before we get to the new creation, right, the new heaven, earth and the new heaven, I want to talk to you a little bit about the two things. First of all, in chapter 62, there is the new name that God promises to his people, right? He's saying, I'm not going, you're being looked down upon by other peoples because you have given into the world. You're starting to live in this kind of a way. And they're knowing you as in some kind of a way that isn't really the one that I want you to have. It's not the name that associates yourself with me. It's a name that I'm going to give to you through my power and my forgiveness. And because I'm going to forgive you and you're going to be right with me, I'm going to give you this new name. So turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 62, and you can look in verses 2-6. I'll just read a couple of those. Chapter 62, verse 2, it says, the nations shall see your righteousness and all the kings of kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken. Your name will no longer be forsaken. Your land shall no more be termed desolate. These are the names they were called. But you shall be called, my delight is in her. My delight is in her will be their name. That is what God is going to bring. And keep that in mind when we go into the new creation, the new heaven and the new earth. My delight is in her. Claim that, brothers and sisters, today. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, claim that. My delight is in you. My delight is in you. God delights in you as his child. Do you see how all the darkness just dissipates and goes away because God and his power comes and he is the one who has that power to give us the real name that he desires for us to possess. It's through him. My delight is in her. And your land married. That's another name. Married to God. Married to Christ. For the Lord delights in you and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. God is rejoicing over you. Claim that today. I wrote one of the devotionals this week and someone wrote me back and said to me, I claim that. I receive that. And then they went on to describe a situation that was very, very difficult in their life. But God's word, this word that is being provided to us comes into a life, and unexpectedly you hear from someone, I hear that. I hear that in my life. My life is really a mess right now. I'm going through something that is so terrible, but I claim that word for me, that God has come into my life and has given me power. Right? I gotta keep calm because these things really, you know, I sometimes come across like I'm angry, but I'm not. I'm just overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit's power of saying, this is real. And that's the way Isaiah spoke. And it's all through here. It just overcomes you. The power of God's Spirit overcomes you, and you can't really hold back from it because it is this force that is real, right? There's one other verse that speaks about this in that chapter. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. The holy people, the holy ones, because you are associated with God. You are a child of God. You're in the family of God. You shall be called sought out. God seeks you out. Amen? He seeks you out. All these names, listen to them. God is desiring to be one with his people, to give them all of these beautiful things, to give them a name so that they no longer look at themselves and they say, I am worthless. I am a failure. I am no good. I have fallen short. I'm not a good this. I'm not a good that. No, don't you dare say that, because I am your God and you are my son. You are my daughter. And I say to you that you are my holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Tell people that. And believe Amen. That yourself. Amen. You are redeemed. Yes, I have been a sinner. Yes, I continue to sin, but I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. God has not forgotten. God has not forgotten. They're deserving of such things, but God will not forget them. Hallelujah. And so let's turn now to the scripture today in chapter 65. Actually, I want to talk about Jesus first before we go. And we'll be talking about Jesus again all through this. But there are different chapters that speak of beautiful things that God has done in the Spirit of God. And what I was talking about, the Christmas verses that I used for the choir. And this woman was saying, can we have some Christmassy ones, right? So I'll give you a Christmassy one. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So that is the kind of verses that we're drawn into. There's another one that spoke during this week where it says, my Redeemer is coming. I'm sending my Redeemer. I looked and God wondered that there was no one that would live for him. And so what did he say? I took it upon myself and I became that for you. I sent my son, the Redeemer, and I know that my Redeemer lives, said Job. The Redeemer. We are the people, he said, that is your name, the redeemed. Who are we?
The redeemed.
The redeemed. Let's say it again. Who are we?
The redeemed.
The redeemed. What else? The holy people of God.
The sought out.
The sought after ones. The ones that he has saved. All of these things are in this wonderful book of Isaiah. Doesn't it make you feel like just getting into it, reading it more? Mm-hmm. To dwell in that and to get to know there's so many treasures there. My neighbor one time told me, I don't need the Bible. I know it's in there. No, he doesn't. Right. Exactly. He put it aside. He wanted to live on in the things, in the unsureness of life, in the uncertainty, in the thing that is the opposite of the inexorable coming of the new creation. He wanted to stay in the old, and that is why our hearts are broken. To say, why? Why would you ever do that? Why would you give up something so brand new and beautiful that has hope for a forever, right? We have to, you know, calmly and led by the Spirit, speak with people in a loving way to reassure them that you can do that. Let me just tell you this because I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to hear these things, that there was a person I was reading about. She was a Muslim, and she had this husband who was really abusive in her life, and so she said that a woman came to the door of their house and they said, do you know Christ? And she said, I don't want to hear, I'm from Islam. I don't want to hear about anything that you have to share with me. The woman came back the next day with a Bible and gave it to her. She began to read it and she was saved. So we don't give up.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We don't give up when a person says, I'm not interested mm-hmm. like that. Of course, they're going to say that, right? Many people come to the doors and try to sell something, but she put the book of God into her hand so that she didn't have to speak. She let him speak. Mm-hmm. Right? These are things that we need to learn, right? To get over our, what the Germans call Hemmungen. It's like a worries. the things we're all caught up in, worries. Oh, this is going to happen. And what's going to happen here? And what's going to happen there? There's so many things that happen in churches. We don't want to be a church where we go, yeah, but what if we don't do this? And what if we don't do that? And then, in fact, we don't do anything. Let's not be that way. We're not. We are the redeemed.
Amen.
And we are the witnesses of God.
Amen.
Okay, so finally, Pastor, we're getting into this chapter that we're supposed to today. That was so beautiful. So, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. God is creating a new heaven and a new earth. Think about that for a moment. It is not going to be as we know it now. I wonder what it's going to be like. Well, the former things won't be remembered. Those things are in the past. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy. So there you go. What's it going to be like? It's going to be filled with joy. We were singing about that today, weren't we? Mm-hmm. Joy coming through, seeping through all of these things. Joy, things that we oftentimes are feeling like, I don't really know what joy is. We are going to know. And you can know now. When we let go of the things that are holding us back and we let God speak to us and we say, Lord, I don't know what joy is right now because there's things going on in my life that are not joyful, but God, I know that you are the source of it. So please let me live joy now. And in some way, some remarkable way of his own choosing, he will come into those situations just as he sent the Redeemer. When he said that there was no one that was going to do something, he said, I'll do it. And he comes in when we let him. Right? Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. It's going to be something to rejoice in. This whole thing that was missing in their lives was a false understanding and practice of worship. Worship is where we are in our hearts and our minds and our souls so that we don't feel like, I have to go here for a certain amount of time. But after I'm done with that, I can go and have fun. It's like, I want to be in the presence of God and I don't have any expectation. My schedule is free that day. I'm going to give him all of it. I'm not going to say I'm going to be doing something at 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever time. My day is his. And I love to be in the presence of God. Many times we get into situations where we're sitting down with even someone that we know, and within 2 or even less minutes, we start to take out our phone and start to look at it because we can't stand to be in the presence of someone, even someone that's important in our lives, because we have to open our cell phone and look and see what's going on there. Am I right?
Yeah.
That defines us. Do we want to be defined like that? So that we feel like when we get when we're sitting with our friends or we're sitting with our family or we're sitting at the dinner table or we're sitting in church or we're sitting anywhere. Oh, I've got to find out what's going on there. I can't. That person's waiting to hear from me. And meanwhile, the person that you're with is not really having the full you. That's what's going on here in the society that Isaiah was living in. That the people were saying, yeah, I profess God. I am from Israel. I was born an Israelite. But I don't spend time with God in the way that he intends. I give him what I feel like giving. But God is talking about a place where there's no time for anything else, that there's this love that is going on between God and his people so that they are in a constant communion of sharing in his glory. I rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping. Is there weeping going on? Do you hear weeping in your life somewhere?
Yeah.
Think about that for a moment. Where is there someone weeping? In the new creation, in the new heaven, the new earth, there will be no more. Hard to see that, isn't it? Hard to see that. But the more that we are immersed in the way that God desires for his people to be immersed in his being, in his presence, in his world that he has created for us, we we will start to see it in this, these things. You know that verse that we read today? In Romans? For the creation waits, the creation, the things, all of creation is waiting with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Mm-hmm. The revealing of the sons of God. You know what that means to me? That the creation that is all around us, the mountains, the oceans, the things, all the creatures, every part of creation is longing because of the shortcomings of mankind, because of the sinfulness that was caused in mankind. There is this longing for a return to what was and to the new that is coming. And they are waiting for people to come to Christ. They're come waiting and all of this. And when someone comes to Christ, then this affects the universe. Yes. It affects the longing of the creation that has been damaged by sin so that it be, is restored. And those are the things that God is planning for us, this restoration of coming back into the beauty that he has had in mind for us. No more weeping. No more cries of distress. There are many people in this world that are crying out in distress. God hears them, but he's saying, in my new creation, the heavens and the new earth, there will be no more cries for distress because there will be no more reason for it. Where I am, in the presence that I am, in that place fully, and there's nothing else, there isn't any reason to cry for distress. There isn't any. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days. An old man who does not fill out, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be cursed. And what these metaphors are talking about is an end to an end. There's no more end. There's no more measurement. But there is an end to death. There is an end to death. The way that we measure life and the things that we're used to seeing, that a person dies young or they die old, are not going to be no more, because there won't be any more. It's going to be forever, like we were singing tonight. Do you feel the power of God and what he's doing? He takes the things that we're used to in this creation and he says, I'm turning it upside down because sin is not of me. And I sent my son to die for all of mankind so that they can have life eternal. Those are the things that I want you to look forward to. There's going to come a day when it has no, the things that you're used to, a person being young or a person being older, are going to be no more. But he does say this. A sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. There's going to be no more sin. It's going to be gone. Because we will be in this new heaven and new earth for those who belong to God. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. This strikes home to me when we lived in Germany. There were people, when the Berlin Wall, when that whole wall was put up throughout separating Germany into two, East and West Germany, there were people who went to work on one day, and when they came back to go home, the wall was in their way, and they couldn't take their home. They couldn't go home because the wall was put up in such a speed that it kept them from even returning home after they went to work or they went somewhere else. Can you imagine? You come back and you're going to want to go to home and there's a wall there and it's like that. And when the wall came down, the people flooded into East Germany from West Germany and they said, I live there. You can't have that house. It belongs to me. Strange, isn't it? But that's the way it was. And God is saying here, there will be no more where people build homes and another comes in and takes them over. And that's what happens in war. That's what happens in this sinful world where people come in and they force their way in, kicking people out of their homes, taking over their fields and the fruit, all the different things that they grow. And all of this, it's going to be no more. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. We was thinking there was a big, huge tree in our backyard, and one day that tree will be there and I won't be. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
There will come a time and I will be no more, but that tree will continue to grow there. That's a strange thought. But what God is saying here is that our days will be long. Right? It's like going to be cut off and broken down like they are. But we will have that strength. And the tree in the Bible always has this beautiful image and illustration for us that it is something that God grows. My chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain. Things won't be in vain anymore. You won't feel like I worked my whole life to do what? No, there's no more of that. It will be this feeling of peace and of glory for God. Or bear children for calamity. Children will no longer be born in this kind of a way anymore. There won't be children who are born for destruction. For they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. That reminds us of in chapter 17, verse 7 of Genesis. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. That is what God is fulfilling here. And he's talking about here in heaven, that this is going to be fulfilled there, that this covenant that he made with Abraham is being brought into fulfillment. So God shows himself as being true in that way. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. It is immediate. It is immediate. And then these wonderful verses, the wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. There's no more killing of eating an ox. Right? These kind of animals that eat other animals will be no more. It's speaking of a time where there will be no more killing. Right? There will be no more reading in the newspaper that people were shot or killed senselessly. There will be no more killing in wars. There will be no more war. Therefore, there will be no more killing. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are speaking, I will hear. God is immediately involved in our lives and brings this into us. The dust shall be the serpent's food. And of course, this is a reference to the fact that the serpent in the Garden of Eden in that time would have no more power. Right? That God had cursed that serpent and it was going to come into fruition with the final destruction of Satan. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. And here it is. This beautiful ending to this chapter says the Lord. They shall not hurt or destroy. You will no longer be hurt by anyone, brothers and sisters. You will no longer be hurt by anyone. You will no longer hurt anyone. Nothing will be destroyed. Nothing will be destroyed. It is a place completely brand new, completely other than what we see now. And so what do we do with all of these verses here? Well, first of all, the Bible is filled with advice. I was reading through Peter and he was saying, be steadfast. Be steadfast with the knowledge that these things are coming to you. And not only that, but share the good news. Share this news to other people, right? That Jesus Christ is the anointed conqueror, that he has come into your life. And those are not just merely words, but those are a reality in my life. And let me share my life story with you. Remember to always base your witness on your own personal relationship to God and how he has come into your life. Don't base it on some kind of a diagram that someone has drawn up that is also useful. But at heart, it is going to be you sharing yourself with other people about your God. How has he affected your life? How has he come into your life? If it's like most people, or if not all people, you will express that there were things that were not desirable, that were not right with God, that God in his grace came into my life and he proved himself to me as being real. There was a time when I heard cries for distress and I was crying out in distress and he heard my cry and he came into my life. And now I know what is written here is true. And I long with creation for those days, for the children of God to be revealed. I long for that time when I can be in a place where everything is going to be without all the negative things that we experience in this life. And then let God's Holy Spirit touch the hearts of the people you witness to. Leave it in God's hands. Those are the things that we do. We live together to worship, and that's one of the reasons we come together here, to express with the songs that are in our hearts, and the singing the songs of other people, and the expression of artwork, and the things, you know, never mind the subways. We can also use it in the church and express those things, but we can go out into the world and show people that God is real, to point out the beauty. The hundreds of thousands of trees that are in Sweden are all grown at his command. I remember our friends telling us that they had never eaten a shrimp more sweet and juicy and wonderful as those they caught in the sea off the coast of Sweden. Those are a gift of God. And it's the taste of that is a reminder of the sweetness of his forgiveness, of his love, of his mercy and grace. Amen. So all around us, we can look at the countries there, we'll look at Sweden, we look at our own. And we're reminded of the things that God is doing. He's doing much, and he has a plan. Right? He has a beautiful plan to have this new creation, the new life, the new name. And it begins now for us who believe. And then while we are going through these difficult times, God has promised us, just like Jesus taught in today's scripture, right? That when we persevere, God will reward us. God will give us the things that he has promised to us. And so that is a really good word for us today, to persevere. Continue to do creative things. Continue to exercise your gifts. Bring God into your life. Bring God into your Facebook. Bring God into your Instagram. Bring God into whatever you use. Bring God into your life. Bring his name. Proclaim his name. Let people know who you are. Explain the fact that God has given you life and you want his name to be known. And you're doing that because of the great things that he has done for you. God is so good. People need to hear about it. There is darkness in the world, as we heard, that the light of God needs to come in there. And so we want to be that light. We want to share that light with all of